Well, welcome back to another podcast. We have been on summer hiatus, and so we're kind of getting the feel of things again. And it's been a slow, hot time where a lot of people aren't here. But when you're the head of the board of a roughly 7,500 person city, there's never a slow time. So, Kim Fuller, welcome back.
Good to be here.
What are you doing for us?
We're doing a lot. Having a good time, actually.
Well, that's good. So you've had your day in court. Tell us what happened there.
The petition, in order to change the bylaws, there was two parts we were trying to change. The judge, and he has the right to do this, the judges did not grant the petition because, in his opinion, for the court to use its discretion, the only circumstance that he felt would be valid was if we never got enough ballots to pass it, even if 100% voted for it. So we had more than enough ballots. There was over 1,761 ballots, but it would have required a 90-something percent conversion rate. Didn't matter to him. So his point was, because if 100% of the people had voted for these changes, it would have happened. So he would not use the court's discretion. Now, we didn't necessarily agree. Our attorneys didn't agree. But that's the judge's decision. He has the right to do that.
Now, we've got 3,700 homes here.
3,450.
That's why my math was that 1,700 didn't sound like 50%.
So it took 1,761 affirmative votes to pass a bylaw change. We never got to 1,761. But we had more than 1,761 ballots because there was a couple hundred people who voted no. So because of that, he simply asked a question. If 100% of the people had voted for these changes, would it have happened? The answer is yes. Therefore, he says, therefore, I don't want to use my discretion. So we have to figure out a way of getting more people to vote. That's the issue.
Okay, and to refresh our memories, I know one of the things that you were trying to change was having one house, one vote in every election.
Correct. So one of the issues was cumulative voting every other year, where you can put three votes to one person. We were trying to, because 73% of the people who voted on that measure wanted to eliminate it, we were asking the court to eliminate it. The other change was, how do we change the bylaws? Currently, we need 1,761 affirmative votes to change a bylaw. We wanted to change that to, as long as we have a majority of ballots from all the homeowners, 1,726, it would take two-thirds to change. Mm-hmm. Little lower threshold. Mm-hmm. The reason being, it's very hard to get a voter turnout above 60%. That's the problem. So that dilemma is, in the last election for these two bylaw changes, we would have needed about a 95% conversion rate. We felt that was unduly difficult. The attorneys did. Attorney was disappointed. This is the first case in this petition he has ever lost.
Really?
First one. Yes. So, but that's the judge's discretion. That's what he has a right to do. So we're going to now look at a way to get more ballots.
This is not appealable.
No. It's not worth the trouble. So board's going to be discussing another ballot whereby we might have to organize people and go door to door. If you are interested in being one of those volunteers where we put out door to door a person to go to 25 homes, please let me know. That's the only way this will ever take place.
Okay. Well, moving on, you're doing a lot of work on the new proposed cable TV situation, and a survey went out, and what did you find?
Okay, the survey came back. We got over 1,700 surveys back. There was 79 people who put duplicate surveys in where they filled out a survey with the same address. All 79 were deleted. We didn't even keep one of them. Okay, so that we thought we were clear about that one. What came back, and by the way, this is on the website. I've just released all the results so everybody can read them. 85% of everyone surveyed wants to do something. Whether it's Spectrum or Frontier, 85% want to do something. Of the two companies from the two programs, 77% want Spectrum, 23% want Frontier, as far as splitting those two up. So at this point, and then what was also interesting when you look at the survey, as far as people's satisfaction with either company, it's about identical. So when you go through the survey, you will see that it's about 75% of the people who use Spectrum are satisfied. 75% of people who use Frontier are satisfied. It's all equal. So the issue on picking any company really isn't the satisfaction. The issue is, given whatever dissatisfaction you have, are you willing to do it to save money? That's really the question, because all of them have their good and bad points. What we're doing now is the board will be going through. Oh, let me make this point clear. The survey is not the official ballot vote. The survey is an information gathering process. If the board decides to move forward, there will then be an official ballot vote, which will go out in the mail, just like an election. So this gave us the information to say, clearly the residents want to do this. We are now investigating the points of the contract with both companies. I will tell you, on the initial template contract, they have issues, enough issues, I wouldn't sign it. But we are investigating and negotiating to see if all of those issues can't be rectified.
Can you give us an example of?
I'll give you an example. Sure, we don't have to apply service, you have to give us money. I can't sign that. They cut out the whole service and I still have to pay you? Okay, that's literally what one point says. So now naturally these templates are kind of just general, they go out and then attorneys negotiate. Everybody's negotiating. We're in the negotiation process, so I can't tell you where this is going to end up yet. We won't put out an official ballot vote unless we can come to terms with a contract that is reasonable. Don't have that answer. That'll probably take a month to figure that out. So we'll see. We'll see. So if the board and the companies can't negotiate what the board feels is a reasonable contract, there might not be anything. If the one company's contract is better than the other, that will influence which company we ultimately will put forward to the residents for a vote. Hypothetically, let's say Frontier, because Frontier only 23% wanted Frontier over 77. Let's say Spectrum's contract is has such difficulty, the board says no, but they go with Frontier because they negotiate different. That's a possibility. Mm-hmm. So everything's on the table at the moment. We clearly know 85% of you want to go forward. That's extremely helpful.
Yeah.
Now, as we spend money on attorneys in negotiations, it's not for naught. It's not wasteful because people want to do this. Now, the other interesting thing we did find out is that 70% of the residents are full-time.
That's a surprise.
Yep. A lot of people thought, you know, maybe half and half. 70% are full-time. And margin error on the survey, given this thing, is like 5%. It's 1,700 out of 3,400 is a good sample.
I knew the trend was up as far as full-time residents.
Full-time residents, 70%. Interesting.
That's surprising development.
Yeah, me too. So we'll see. Hopefully we'll have information about a contract and a potential ballot vote within 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's our goal.
Okay. A bit of old business. How are we doing with the pool chiller?
Pool chiller, okay. Next week, I think I'll be sending out a message about that. The issue with the pool chiller and the initial install was partly there were some install issues with some sensors, but there was also a misunderstanding of how the equipment worked. And so to make this explanation simple, the pool cooling devices are not a refrigeration device. So it will not maintain a specific temperature. It is not possible. That's not how they work. The way they work is it will help to reduce pool temperature based upon ambient temperature. So the warmer it is, the less cooling effect they have. So at night when the air is the coolest, these devices have a greater cooling capacity to help reduce the temperature of the water. But the temperature of the water will increase through the day. That cannot be stopped. It can be slowed down. So really what's going to happen is when we get all done is what I think is you're going to see, is you'll have morning at about 85, 86 degrees. And in late afternoon, when it's 115, 120, you're going to have 90 to 91 degrees. The difference will be this. The Montecito in the morning will be 90 degrees, and in the afternoon it'll be 95, 96 degrees. So the Montecito through the summer will be 5 to 6 degrees warmer. The Santa Rosa pool will be 5 to 6 degrees cooler, with most of the capacity of cooling happening at night. There's an argument from the manufacturer that when you have 120-degree days, you don't even need to run it because the electrical cost compared to how much cooling it is doing is probably not worth it, and wait for the evening to cool it off. So it can't keep up. Can't keep up with that high load. So now that we understand how they work and now that some sensors were fixed, they're now pretty much operational, so we'll be watching.
And so for the 30% who are not here this summer, when they come back, the Montecito Clubhouse got a facelift and looks very nice, I think.
I have had less than 10 complaints about that remodel. So my compliments to that committee. Most everybody has liked it. I think it looks great.
That's as good as you can get.
I mean, you know, sometimes you find out how well you did is when you're done.
Yeah.
And no, I think it looks great. They did a great job. There's a couple of small items that still need or we're looking at, but all in all, pretty complete. So definitely go in and take a look. And the furniture is very comfortable. And for people who play cards, the backs move a little bit. And it's pretty neat what they put in. Pretty good.
Good.
I like it.
Good. And I know it's not too soon for you to be working on the budget. And so are there any early comments of what's going to happen?
The early prediction.
Yeah,
the
prediction.
Early prediction.
That's
you betcha. We had the first budget meeting here this last week. A couple days ago. Now, let's make sure we understand. Last year's budget on a balanced level was $270. That was the balanced budget, $270. Your dues were $265 because we used a surplus to reduce the dues $265. That's why you pay $265. But the budget itself was $270. The initial balanced budget coming up for next year is at $285. So that is a $15 increase over the budget amount, but to the net increase to a homeowner, it's a $20 increase. Now, that's just the initial budget. Our goal now is try to work that down, find all the little tiny things to bring that down. And as we go through that process, I think we can get it to $280. I think that's possible. So we'll be working on those numbers very carefully as to what's going on. So, but I think you can easily, you're easily looking at a $15 to $20 increase.
Okay. And when will a final decision be made, do you think? December?
No, the final budget approval goes to board the meeting of October, the meeting in October, because we have to mail out the budget to everybody in November, like November 1, 2, or I forget what the date is. So we will have a budget meeting again in September, and then another budget meeting October, and then that budget will go to board for final approval at the board meeting in October. So definitely show up if you have questions, concerns about line items or where money's being spent, and then we will go from there. But $15 to $20 is the prediction.
Okay.
I hope to get it down to $280, $278, $279 if I'm lucky.
Okay. And so there's one other problem that never, or one other issue that never seems to go away. And that is the issue of our restaurants being profitable, or at least breaking even. And so rather than you commenting on it and me asking some questions, let me say it, and then you comment on what I say.
Perfect.
The restaurants are not going to make money any more than the pools make money or the pickleball courts make money. What they do is sell real estate, because we are presenting a lifestyle here that is attractive to a certain demographic. And it's important that all those features be there, or this is not going to be a desirable place for people to live. And one of the things that people are looking for is a restaurant facility. In fact, more than one. We need one in each clubhouse, and we need two at the golf course. And it's important that they be there. There's a balance between what you charge and how many people are going to actually use it. So you have to be mindful of that. And as a budget item, the cost per homeowner per month has actually gone down in recent years because of efficiency of operations. How does that sound to you?
Bingo. So there it is. There is nothing that we do that makes money. Nothing. Pools don't. Clubhouses don't. Fitness centers doesn't. The golf doesn't. Name one thing. Nothing makes money. It is all subsidized by your dues in order to have all of those amenities available. And the restaurant's just one. But the restaurant did cost, about 5-6 years ago, $12 a month per resident. This year it was $8 a month per resident. It will probably go to $9, because restaurants get hit with the minimum wage increase. Most of those people, because of tips, are getting minimum wage. We have to increase that minimum wage by law. So that's probably going to go to $9. But if you take the list of all the amenities that we have here, the restaurant is the least costly thing we have. The fitness facilities cost more. The golf costs more. The security costs more. Lifestyles cost more. They all cost more. The lowest thing on the list is the restaurant. But people like to look at that. So to all the nice residents, and I understand, because you see this profit and loss, you just want to think that it's going to break even like a restaurant out there in the world. It's not going to happen. I don't know of cases where it does happen in this application. It's not like a restaurant down in Palm Springs. But if somebody thinks they have the answer, they need to submit that plan to the Food and Beverage Committee for review to see if it can. I've been in the private club business a long time. I don't know of anybody who makes money, and that's why country clubs have a minimum wage food cost per month. They must use it. We don't do that. And then they still lose money. So it's there for availability, the same as a pool. I'm glad it's there, and for $9 a month, it's worth it. I'm going to be honest. Do I spend my time trying to figure out how to make it break even? No. I think that's a failure. I don't think it'll ever happen. So I got other things to do. Right now, it's bulk cable.
Okay.
So I don't spend my time on that one.
Okay. Well, on that happy note, thank you for coming in and answering our questions. And to the audience, if you like this, please tell a friend. Share it with a neighbor, because these are issues that are in their lives. And so, until next time, bye-bye.